Hello and welcome back to Hiring Advantage. I'm Chrissy. What a few amazing weeks it's been. So last Friday, I did an incredible branding shoot. If you listen to my podcast, I talk a lot about queens. I've got a chest symbol in my logo. So we went really hard on the Queen of Hearts and the chest theme, and it was literally lying on the floor on a giant chest mat with cards in my hair and tiaras, and we really went out there, but it's looking really fabulous and I'm really happy with it. So if you want to see some pretty far out there images, and obviously me not taking myself too seriously, definitely head over to my Instagram page. And this is the second week of the hiring playbook beat around. So I've been working with my fabulous beta testers on all things strategy and then role design over the past few weeks, which has been incredible, which leads me quite nicely into a segue to talk about Em, who's my guest. Now, Em talks about, she's really candid in talking about her journey as a business owner, as what it was initially like as a solopreneur, and then what that process was to level up and become a team leader. And she's really honest about it and what went well, what didn't go so well. And, you know, potentially, you know, her lesson learned would be that maybe having a little bit more strategy would be beneficial. She's really leaned into learning along the way of what it takes to be a leader and what her strengths and weaknesses are. And that's resulted in some pretty exponential growth. I love this episode. Em's very honest, very vulnerable, and really relatable in terms of what her journey has been. And she now has an absolute fabulous team around her as a part of her upcoming rebrand. It's all about the team, and they seem really solidified in terms of their team, in terms of their organizational structure, and just like they get on really well. And that's hugely been down to Em's personal development and really understanding what she wants as a leader so that she can really build that strong, robust team. And as a result of that, her business has just grown leaps and bounds. So it's a really inspiring episode to see what comes from that hard work and that vision and the absolutely beautiful websites that her and her team build. If you are looking to upgrade your website, absolutely check out her Instagram and webpage. Just stunning. I know you're going to absolutely love today's episode, so enjoy. So meet my guest today. This is a lovely Em Sparrow from Em Sparrow Designs.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited. We've been trying to line up something and have a chat for a long time, so I'm really excited.
Yay! So for any of my audience who don't know me, let's dive straight in, and can you give us a little bit of an elevator pitch?
Yeah, so Em Sparrow Design, we help our clients provide a holistic approach to websites and brand strategy and just showing up online in general. So we go a little bit deeper and below the surface for our clients, just helping them with all the things that are related to a website and just making the process super simple for them.
And what did you do before Em Sparrow Designs? What did your resume look like?
Yeah, so I moved to Australia when I was 18, and I did a little bit of hospitality, and then I jumped into corporate. And really the only reason they interviewed me was because I lived the closest to the office. And yeah, and they just loved my personality, so they ended up hiring me. So I helped that company. We just started with three of us, and we ended up merging and becoming one of the bigger finance brokerages in Sydney. And I helped them with the operations and client management and hiring as well. And then eventually I did tell them when they hired me that in 5 years, they asked me what I wanted to do. And I said, I'm going to start my own business. And by the time I was leaving, I got a little bit over being the designated coffee getter. I was the only woman in the office. So I really wanted to create something of my own. And so I jumped into starting my own agency.
And your agency is in full swing now. What do you love most about the work that you do?
Yes. So definitely, I came from a corporate background where in finance, as if anyone who's been in finance knows, it's very male dominated. And I felt like my corporate career didn't have those successful women to lean on and to work with. And so I've really made it my mission in my business to not only work for successful, dynamic female entrepreneurs, but also grow a team that are full of them. And so just being able to support my team and my clients and just watching them win, it really lights my soul on fire.
Beautiful. And before we dive into your team, can you describe yourself in 3 words?
First one, I think I agree and my partner would say, is I'm very stubborn. I'm very stubborn and love being in control, which works really good when running an agency. I definitely love running a team and I have to be really careful. I don't try to run my partner as well and make him do all the dishes and everything. But I also think that I'm quite intuitive when doing my work, which I'm pretty proud of.
And intuitive in a design aspect?
I think just in design, but also like life and business, I feel like I've gotten pretty far for how old I am. And I've just been really intuitive in making my decisions and listening to myself and listening to, yeah, just whenever making decisions, it's led me to a pretty cool path.
Well, I think it's pretty incredible that what you were saying in your previous role, you were 18 and saying, in 5 years, I'm going to have a business and that's just what I'm going to do. I mean, I'm older than you. it wouldn't have entered my mind. So I am so inspired by women who have that attitude, you know, really knew what they wanted. And I was just on that corporate wheel for such a long time, just not really thinking about that being a possibility. So I'm very inspired by you, Em, and the fact that you had that vision and you went after it.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So what does your business and team look like today?
Yeah, so we've grown exponentially in the past 3 years. And so I've gone from just being me to a team of 5. So I have a developer that's based here in Australia. She's in Cairns. I have a designer who is actually based in South Africa. I have a brand strategist based here on the Sunshine Coast with me. And I have an assistant / marketing manager who works out of Brisbane.
And where did you get inspiration for your team structure? So does your model and your, I guess, your organizational structure, does that follow a typical digital agency structure, or is it something you designed on the fly? How much strategy went into that?
I think it was a lot of trial and error. My first hires weren't very successful. It probably took me a solid year before I had someone reliable who I could trust. And that was, we can go into it later, but also a lot of skills that I had to learn. And so it was definitely all about, it was definitely a learning process. And I probably should have spent a little bit more time doing some research on what other agencies are doing, but I've definitely built something that just fits our business.
So what did it look like? I mean, for you as your role, what did it look like when you were flying solo?
Yeah, I was doing a lot of the things and working a lot. I was pretty much probably just getting by on where I could for my marketing side, just doing as much as I could. And then I was doing all the design. I had a developer that would come in for some tech work, but for the most part, I was doing it all. So quite work obsessive and a lot of burnout cycles. I found that my burnout cycle usually hit around that 4 months, which was definitely happening. And I had a lot of health scares along the way too, just because I was working so much.
What was it, a health scare, or was it a particular moment when you really realized that it was time to get that additional support and time to hire?
It was definitely a mix. I struggled a lot in my beginning journey where I had vertigo and memory loss and headaches, and we thought it was a brain tumor, and it was actually from stress and overworking, and it just had manufactured into this. And finally, once I saw one of the head surgeons in Sydney, he was just like, you just need to relax and work a little bit less. So that partnered along with just having some support and some guidance into that, what that next step in my business would look like, was one of the reasons that we started really pushing for the hiring and growing my team so that I can take a step back.
I'm sorry to hear that you had that scare. That's no good.
Yeah, but it was good. It was good it happened when it did, because it was a good lesson for me, because I am a I'm definitely a workaholic, runs in the family. And so the fact that I learned that early on, it was a really important lesson that's shaped the way that my business looks like.
And is there any advice that you would give to other women who are in that place?
Yeah. So take a step back. Probably the best thing that I had to do is I just had to walk away for a little bit and my business didn't go up in flames. You have to take that step back and then you really need to reevaluate and spend some time in your business rather than on it and figure out what's going to work so that you're looking long-term rather than just month to month and just getting by.
Yeah. And those health, we hear those health scares, right? Like I've heard this story multiple times. So I think it's getting support. It's speaking out as well. I think it's really powerful that women are speaking out about this because, you know, there's a little bit of a Instagram filter on small business lives to some extent, I think. So I think it's really great when people are open about that. You know, I have scaled, I was successful, but I worked really, really hard. And this was the downside of it to some extent. But the fact that you got, I guess, that early warning sign meant that you could rectify it and take steps to set up your life in a way that was more sustainable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like the more that I've talked about it, the more common you can see it. Like, I think a lot of people have, it's a big job running a small business and it's a lot of learning and it's a lot. So the more that I've talked about it, the more I've seen it. And so we just all have to be really careful and remember that health is really, really important. It's way more important than our small business.
And what do you do what's your downtime? How do you unwind and how do you close off your laptop? What does that look like for you?
Yeah. So probably this sounds silly because I'm not a mom, but the best thing I ever did was get a dog.
Yeah.
I have to take a lot more breaks because I have to take her out. But also just like having someone there to like remind you to step away, I think is really important. It sounds a bit silly, but you probably know that with you.
No, I get that. I think caring for something or someone else is very powerful. And if you can be really present and throw yourself into those walks or for me, I mean, I've got little kids, so I throw myself into playing on the floor and really getting into it and just, you know, mentally checking yourself to be present. It's definitely a juggle at times, but I always say, you know, stop and smell the flowers, like go for the walk. If the dog wants to have a sniff, like stop and let the dog have a sniff of me. It's like my kids picking flowers or looking at the moon, but just trying to remember, you know, like your dog's little for so long, my kids are little for only so long, and it's so valuable, and being present is really beautiful, and it gives you that much needed mental check as well.
Yeah, which I definitely need.
And what things do you think, I mean, you touched on this a little bit before, but that trial and error with hiring, what did you get right away? What do you still do from those original learnings? And then what have you improved and tweaked as you've gone along?
Yeah, so what I've done right is probably not, to be honest, when I first started hiring, I probably didn't do a whole lot right. I did find when I first started, I was hiring assistants, I was hiring VAs. I kind of had an idea what I needed. I wrote the job post, I asked friends and found some recommendations, but I probably burnt a lot of bridges with my lack of self-awareness and communication skills and communicating what I wanted. And I look back at those hires and I can see that I was probably not a very good employer. I was just I couldn't see what they really needed from me, and I wasn't telling them what I needed from them. And it's funny, once I really started to see the growth in my agency and my team really start to work and love their work and do really good work was when I took a step back and I learned how to communicate properly, clearly, and just took a little bit of self-awareness and look within myself before blaming things on team members.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. I think hiring a VA is particularly interesting, right? So from my experience and from working with other people, I feel like a lot of people hire a VA and get it wrong. Mm-hmm. And the reason being, quite often you go into a business and you specialize in something that you do know. But I can give myself as an example, and I didn't get my first VA hire right because I've never hired a VA before for me, because I didn't know exactly what it was that I needed. And I probably hired two junior, and this lady was taking a long time to get up to speed, and I wasn't the right person to educate her because I don't have a history in administration. I then learned my lesson. Like, she did a great piece of work with me. It was all very amicable, but I learned from that. And I actually went and hired a very experienced Australian VA who could tell me what I needed. So she came in and looked at my business and said, well, you know, I've worked with other businesses that do this, that do that. I would sort of download her and say, you know, these are the challenges that I'm having. And she came up with solutions. And it wasn't, I think now I have that knowledge, my second VA that I'll hire will be more junior because I have that experience, but I almost needed to get that experience. And I don't know that people talk about that enough. I think they just think they're going to maybe go on Upwork and hire someone super junior, but that's really tough unless you've got experience of managing administrative people before.
Yeah. And also those juniors, they're going to take at least 3 months to get up to speed with what you need. Even if you have all the training, obviously if you run a big teams and you know how to train people, it's going to be maybe a little bit quicker for you, but the average is about 3 months before someone comes to speed. And so you have to be really okay with that person failing and failing and failing until they get it right. Mm-hmm. And you need to be able to be okay with that and also recognize when that failing is because of you or because of them.
Yeah, agreed. And yeah, I think it's also understanding that a VA, that's a freaking broad skill set, right? Like, one VA is not going to be able to implement Dubsado, implement ClickUp, and then do your general administration and also do social media. Sometimes it is really about refining what is your most urgent need. I hired a VA who specialized in ClickUp because I did not have the time to learn ClickUp and implement it. So I have an amazing VA who has now become my ongoing VA, who's a ClickUp expert, who implemented it and can set up all my clients every time. I identified that as my weakness. I think when you've come from corporate for such a long time, you're used to working with systems that are set up for you. And for me, really overwhelming to go in and have to learn technology, learn how it's going to work for my business. So I went with the mindset of hiring a tech expert who could tease what I needed out and put it before me, and then we could work together to fine tune it.
Mm-hmm. And it's very different than when you're working in an office. Although my whole team is remote and I absolutely love it, it is just that little bit more work, especially in that training phase when you're not sitting right beside that person and guiding them. I feel like you do learn a lot faster if you're working 9 to 5 all those hours a week and you're sitting right beside your boss, where most small businesses are bringing people in for maybe 5 to 10 hours to start. And they're remote. And so for you to have such high expectations, you really have to take a step back and just realize it's going to take just a little bit longer.
Yeah. And we talked about it before, right? It's having that finance forecast. So planning that training time. I talked in my hiring playbook, I talked to my clients about that. So when you hire, it is going to take a period of time first of all, you've got to account for your time in the hiring process. There's going to be a gap from when you hire them to when they come in. And then there's going to be an incremental training process where you have to account for that, where you've got out of pocket costs going to them and their training. And I think we talked about this as well. They come in and they're probably 20% of the time in their first week that they're actually adding value to your business. And then over week two, that could go to 40% and then 60% and then 80%. And there's always that margin where there is hours of the work in the day where they're having conversations with you or another team member. And you just have to account for that. And I think if you've not done that before and you've gone from being solo and all your money going to you to having to factor these costs in, I think that can be a bit of a learning curve as well.
I think so. We're learning it in our own agency. Like, the past 3 months have not been the same profit as the 3 months before. And it was just because we have such a young team. We hired 2 casuals in the past 4 months. And so just bringing them on board, it's been something that we didn't, not that our business is struggling, but we didn't really think into account how much training it would require. And it was definitely a wake-up call to keep in mind for our next hire.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, this leads really beautifully into tech. So obviously your business is in the world of tech. What systems and processes have you leveraged to support you with hiring and managing that team?
Yeah, definitely. So before we really grew our team, the first thing that we had to set up is our customer journey all the way when someone first hears about us, and then what that looked like all the way through. And then we tried to automate it as much as possible so that anyone we're bringing onto our team are really doing tasks that are really important in the business, and everything else is being automated. So spending that time, we use Dubsado to do that. And we have a lot of automations in the initial reach out for our onboarding process. And that little bit of automation has actually allowed me to handle all new inquiries. And then all the other systems that we use for team management and ideas and all of that is in ClickUp.
Yeah, I'm the same. Dubsado is going in next week. ClickUp, and ClickUp's great. Like I love that you can just brain dump into there, and I find it really user-friendly once it's in.
Yeah, and it's like, I feel like a lot of small businesses, they open it up, they set it, they like look at it for 3 minutes and then they freak out. And it's like, you have to realize when growing your team or setting up your systems, these things take time. We have to take the time to set them up. You're not going to learn Dubsado in a week. It takes months. So,
agreed. Yeah. Biggest lesson becoming a leader. What would you say your biggest lesson was that you learned stepping up into that leadership role?
Definitely communication skills. I think it's something that I keep fine tuning. It's something I just struggle with in general. So I've had to spend a lot of time learning it. I've listened to you know, like Brené Brown and that kind of works just to get an understanding on the best way to communicate with your team. And just, I'm terrible at holding things in. I'm a very much a people pleaser. So I used to try to avoid a lot of conversations. So being really aware of that, having those conversations. And one of my favorite phrases when I don't understand something or if I need some further explanation is I will say, paint me a picture of what done looks like. And so that it's really good. I stole it from Brené Brown, but it just allows me to get my team to communicate with me fully, or I communicate back, and we just make sure that there's no holes in the communication because I tend to just assume people understand what I'm trying to say. And it's made a few hiccups along the way for sure.
And what do you love most about having a team versus when you were a solopreneur?
Yeah, I do love managing people. I did do it in corporate. So I do love like just having them around me. We started doing meetups with my closer team members, which is awesome. So we rent a boardroom and we'll all sit around and bounce ideas, or we'll have Zooms, or we have a puppy group chat.
That's so cute. I've seen a picture on your Instagram of you all with your dogs. It's totally adorable.
It's not a criteria. If anyone wants to apply for a job at MCR Design, you don't need a dog, but it is like a kind of a part of our team culture.
Gorgeous. Love that.
Just having that around me. Just one thing that came out when we were doing some succession planning with one of my team members is she said, she's in South Africa, so their economy's not that great right now. And she said, since working with you, now me and my partner can finally look at saving for a house. And that just like gives me goosebumps every time I say it, because it's, really exciting for us.
And I think that's something that for people to push past as well, as a part of how hiring gets to be so beautiful. You are giving someone a job. You are helping them pay their bills, putting their families through school. There's something really beautiful about that, and something I think we should have a lot of gratitude for as business owners.
Yeah. 100%. It's definitely worth it.
What's next for M Sparrow Designs? I know you've got some big stuff coming up.
Yeah. So when this podcast comes out, if anyone goes to give us a follow or check us out, we look like it's just a me. So it's currently M Sparrow Design. We're going through a full rebrand that launches August 1st. And with that, my team are becoming more of a focal point. It'll take obviously a little bit of time to shift into that, but I'm really excited for everyone to see the team behind the scenes, because they're getting to the point where they do better work than I ever did. So I don't want to take all the credit. I want them to be a part of it. So it's really exciting to do this shift and just be the community that we're creating and know that it's not just me behind the scenes.
Full agency. Amazing. And would you have thought that was possible 2-3 years ago?
No, definitely not. It's been a work of art, but it's good to be here.
Beautiful. Now, last question. If you could hire one person for 12 months and they can be a famous or an influential person to work in M Spiro Designs. Who would that be and why?
Yeah. So I recently learned that my values that like that are within me, I want my value to be finances and financial freedom, but I know that's not in me right now. So I'd probably need to hire someone who that is all them. So I would probably need like a Warren Buffett or something to come in to give me straight financial advice. So we implement it.
That's cool. I love that. That's like really, that's a really different answer. And it's really assessing like a gap in your business and using the best of the best to fill it.
I'm definitely a people person. I need someone to come in and just do the money things.
Yes. Now, where can my guests find you?
Yeah. So when this podcast comes out, we'll be at M Spiro Design on Instagram. And that will be www.msparrow.com. So come check us out. We are pretty active on Instagram these days. And then you'll see us shift into our new agency, which is really exciting.
Yeah. So make sure you follow M. And I have seen some sneaky peeks of her rebrand. Some pretty epic looking photos. So make sure you give her a good old Insta stalk and watch this space. Thanks so much, Em.
Well, thanks for having me. This was so much fun.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Hiring Advantage podcast. If you have any questions or love the show, head over to @HiringAdvantage on Instagram and let me know. If you learned something today, it would mean the absolute world to me if you left a review or shared this with someone else that you think would benefit from this knowledge. Until next time, happy hiring, queens.